What's up, Chicago? I'm Erin Allen, and this is Curious City. I'm on the north side of Chicago at Kathy Osterman Beach. Or should I say,
Hollywood Beach?
Hollywood, like, gay people beach or something. I don't know. I saw it on, like, Snapchat maps. We call it the gay beach.
It's officially beach season in Chicago, and the quote-unquote gay beach, as it's affectionately called, is packed. Curious City listener Rebecca Kling remembers one time when she was paddleboarding with her girlfriend toward the beach's metal pier.
And as we came around the sort of rainbow lighthouse at the end of that metal construction, just this wave of noise and seeing all of these people, many of them men in very, very small bathing suits. Dance parties and volleyball and people in the water and people not in the water and people being seen and seeing each other.
She realized in that moment, if you're queer, Hollywood Beach is giving.
And it was just such a striking moment of like, oh, this is the gay beach.
But Hollywood Beach wasn't always like this. Not nearly as crowded and definitely not as gay. It wasn't even a beach at all until the city created it back in the 1950s. At the time, it was officially named Ardmore Beach. But colloquially, it's been called Hollywood Beach for decades by the people who know and love this place.
Clearly, this is a group staking a claim here in a way that I love.
So here's Rebecca's question.
How did this become the go-to queer gathering spot? Why here as opposed to anywhere else?
Well, it turns out it all started with one gay man. Coming up, the making of Hollywood Beach, a queer mecca in Chicago.
On the Vocalo Hotline, we've got the soundtrack for your Friday nights. If you need to hear that one song you love or want a dedicated track to that special someone, I'm taking your calls and DMs. Tune in every Friday night at 8, both on WBEZ and Vocalo.org.
Curious City is supported by the Poetry Foundation, with a reminder that Chicago is a poetry town. That's why Poetry Magazine is proudly called Chicago home for more than 100 years. Poetry publishes contemporary poetry, including talents like Ada Limon, Maggie Smith, Ocean Vuong, and Avery R. Young. Learn more at poetrymagazine.org.
Picture Chicago in the 1980s. House music was on its way to the mainstream. 10 years after the Stonewall Uprising in New York, the Chicago LGBTQ plus community was in an era of profound grassroots organizing and community building. And as ever, gay life was alive and well. The area up at Belmont, Broadway, and Halsted, then called Newtown, later called Boys Town, was overflowing with bars, clubs, and gathering spaces for LGBTQ plus people. Further south, places like the Rialto Tap and Jeffrey Pub served Black and brown folks in the community. At the same time, the AIDS epidemic was raging. People were sick and dying. Even more were left grieving in their wake. This was the Chicago that a young Jerry Marcocha moved to in 1981. He was working for the government and having trouble finding his people in a new city.
What was I up to? Going to bars, looking for someone to fall in love with and fall in love with me.
But the bars were not really his scene.
I don't drink and I don't smoke. I would just buy water.
So Jerry tried the only gay beach at the time, the Belmont Rocks. Chicago LGBTQ plus historian Owen Keenan was a regular at the Rocks at the time. He describes them as these jagged limestone slabs along the lakefront, just south of Belmont Harbor. And it was essentially
the gay beach, which had no sand, which we claimed as our own.
Owen said at one point, the Rocks were the only place queer people could be themselves openly, outside in the sun.
The fact that the Rocks exist, this place where you could do the same thing you did at the bars, but get together with your friends in the sunshine outside, that's such a statement of empowerment.
But it was also discreet. You could find little pockets to sunbathe nude, maybe have a hookup, maybe smoke some weed, all more or less under the radar. But this wasn't Jerry's scene either. The rocks were so jagged that one time he slipped and hurt himself. And then there was the social aspect.
It was not very pleasant. I thought it was cliquish and unfriendly.
Jerry wanted a beach with actual sand. By 1990, he was looking for a new space to build his life. He bought a condo in Edgewater, north of all the queer Chicago action in Lakeview.
Dan McCauley from Taste of Heaven.
Embrace yourself. Jerry's excited to reminisce, so he's talking kind of fast.
When I first moved up here, people say, why'd you move up there? There's nothing going on. There's nothing gay, no activities. There's nothing to do. You got to come down here.
But Jerry made something to do. His search for a place to socialize and connect, his proximity to a sandy, albeit desolate, beach, these little things were the beginnings of what we know today as Chicago's gay beach. I met up with Jerry where it all started.
This doesn't sound egotistical or arrogant, but you can't talk about this beach being gay without including me.
It all began with him and a couple friends, Bob and Joe, who would come visit from the suburbs on the weekend.
We go to the beach and they suggested, you know, we should play volleyball sometime. I said, that's a great idea. And they had a net.
So one Sunday afternoon in July 1991, Bob and Joe brought their volleyball set and they got a game going near the south end of the beach. 10 people played that first day. Jerry says it was such a vibe, he bought his own ball and net and set up another volleyball game the next Sunday. He says Bob and Joe were the social butterflies of the operation.
Literally, like Bob and Joe were the magnets. They got people here and I did the work. There was nobody else doing any of the work other than me.
How did you spread the word?
I didn't. It was word of mouth. It was completely word of mouth. And that's what amazed me, too. And the thing kept on growing bigger and bigger. And I wanted it to be a friendly, social place. I said, we play jungle ball. It's family volleyball. You don't have to set and bump. You just have to try hitting the ball over the net. And
Jerry says all kinds of people would come, both straight and gay. But he would make sure the straights knew.
I said, just so you know, so you're not surprised, we're a gay group, especially in the 90s.
Every Sunday from April to November, and eventually Saturdays as well, Jerry was on the beach at noon.
It was quiet, it was fun. We would play music, you know, like the Supremes, and we would say, stop in the name of love when a hot guy would run by. I mean, it was fun.
He says in 1993, he decided to put up a rainbow flag.
It was for two things. The flag was to let people know that I was here with the equipment for volleyball and that it was a safe place to come.
Those first few years at the beach, it was not all, but mostly gay men. And for Jerry, it was all about having a fun, accessible game of volleyball, finding belonging, building community. He says there were maybe 50 people showing up each week.
Afterwards, we'd either go out to eat at Wing Ho, this wonderful Chinese restaurant that's gone now, or we'd come back to my house, order food, and we'd play board games and card games until like 11, 12 o'clock at night. It was fantastic. And it was something.
Yes. Jerry would have all those people kicking it in his condo after a day at the beach. He was really invested in this community. Jerry says the main reason he didn't officially publicize all this was because he wasn't trying to take away from the Belmont Rocks.
I was trying to make an alternative to the Rocks. So as far as I was concerned, people that liked the Rocks could stay at the Rocks. People that were looking something different, which I was trying to create a friendly, personable atmosphere, they could come here.
And that they did. Jerry may not have been doing any advertising, but the gays were certainly talking.
March 11th, 1994. Visit the Hollywood Beach this summer. It's going to be a hot, gay spot. Look for the rainbow flag.
This is one of several posts on a digital bulletin board system called Cockpit.
April 19th, 1994. The new gay beach in Chicago is Hollywood Beach. It's gorgeous there. Sun, sand, grass, and beautiful men. Give it a try this summer. The Rocks are wrecked.
The Belmont Rocks didn't last much longer after this. Eventually, the Army Corps of Engineers declared them unsafe, and they were destroyed to prevent further shoreline erosion. The area is now the site of the AIDS Garden, Chicago. In the early 90s, the Windy City Times interviewed Jerry about those volleyball weekends at the beach. A gay gossip magazine called Babbel published a headline that read something like,
"I went to Hollywood Beach to watch the boys play with their balls. A double meaning, you know, entendre. That one stuck in my head because I left my head off when I heard that."
In 1993, the beach was officially renamed from Ardmore Beach to Kathy Osterman Beach in honor of the late Edgewater Alder of the same name. In that same year, she was posthumously inducted into the Chicago Gay and Lesbian Hall of Fame as a, quote, friend of the community. And although a lot of people felt like this was a nice tribute to an ally, everybody pretty much still calls it Hollywood Beach. By 1994, Jerry noticed queer people weren't only coming for volleyball anymore. They were just there to sunbathe, socialize, and relax. He invested in more nets and balls, and he got the alder at the time, Marianne Smith, to install more net posts.
I also wanted to be an economic engine for Bryn Mawr and the neighborhood. Again, I wanted good, positive PR. I was president of Black Club, and I told people I ran in public safety and economic development. Neighborhood. I mean, the whole idea of living in the city is to be able to walk to things to enjoy.
Jerry looked around at the beach and had a moment. He couldn't believe what he had created and how affirming it was for him.
I'll be honest, I was the center of it, which was reassuring and comforting to me because I couldn't be ignored.
But all of this was more than 30 years ago. These days, volleyball is far from the main attraction at Hollywood Beach. And Jerry, he's no longer the main character.
I was the guy. I'm not the guy anymore. I have nothing to do with this beach anymore. Nothing.
That intimate community Jerry built ballooned into something really big for hundreds of people. But without him. We got the history, but coming up after the break, what is it like at Hollywood Beach now? And where is Jerry?
This WBEZ podcast is supported by Wise, the app for international people using money around the globe. With the Wise account, you can send, spend, and receive in up to 40 currencies with only a few simple taps. Download the Wise app today or visit wise.com. Terms and conditions apply. Be smart. Get Wise.
On any given summer afternoon, Hollywood Beach is gonna have a crowd. You'll see people swimming, sunbathing, blasting their music, playing games. You know, all the beach stuff. But what you're not gonna see is Jerry. The volleyball he used to play at the beach, fun, low stakes, inclusive, didn't really stay that way.
One of the things that turned me off is it got bigger, it got competitive, and that's why I lost interest.
Competitive how?
Oh, they were serious volleyball players. I mean, people don't really, they're a gay, I mean, MSA, I think, is the league. They're serious volleyball players. You bump, set, and do it. And I have zero depth perception, so I can't do it.
Let Jerry tell it, the beach was changing for the worse. He says that competitive energy was intimidating. It felt impersonal and unfriendly. And then he started to feel disrespected.
People would ask for equipment like I was there to serve them as opposed to...
And then people were treating them like their assistant.
Acted like, where's the ball? Where's the net? Where's the... As opposed to like, I'm doing this for a reason, for a community. They weren't...
They were preoccupied with the volleyball and not the people.
And then some people would lie on the courts or put their bikes in the courts or lock their bikes up to posts. And I say, could you move those so we could play volleyball? And they say, no, we were here first. I'm like, but there's plenty of room. It's not like there's no room. And so I got more and more frustrated.
All Jerry's hard work started to feel thankless. He had built this community from the ground up, and now people were running with it and leaving him behind. Even though he stopped going to the beach, Jerry still keeps in touch. In a disgruntled neighbor sort of way.
They're blasting music at night, shooting off fireworks, and the people in the high-rise are complaining. And I would complain, too, because it's not appropriate. You know, they're blasting. It's like, and you're in the park. To me, it's supposed to be alternative to the bars in Halsted Street, not that.
Jerry feels like he doesn't belong. But the place he built offers a sense of belonging to literally hundreds of people. I mean, as the saying goes, opposite things can be true at once.
My name is Chris Parardi, and I live here in Edgewater, just maybe 2 blocks away from the beach.
I ran into Chris at the beach walking his dog.
Coming here with friends and just really experiencing the sense of community and openness at the beach. Just a sense of belonging and a lack of judgment and a real sense of freedom and belonging.
Belonging. He said it twice. Like Chris, so many other people I talked to had experiences that could not be more different from Jerry's. Adam Rhodes wrote about this for the Chicago Reader in 2021, which felt like a sort of ephemeral tribute to Hollywood Beach. He loves it here. And he says what keeps him coming back every year is how inclusive it feels. He also loves that it's so lively.
It is just like a cacophony of pop music, of disco, of like all of the different types of music that people will play. You'll hear people like scream laughing, of like yelling conversations. It is like an indescribable, just like really collection of like noise and sights and sounds. And it's, I love it. It's perfect.
Perfect, but also imperfect. Hollywood Beach is far north, even further than the Belmont Rocks and other LGBTQ plus center points like North Halsted. There's no parking, and even if you take the CTA, getting here still requires a little trek. This is a barrier to queer people who live far west or far south, Black and brown Chicagoans.
When I look around in the crowd, I see a lot of gay white men. This isn't necessarily a Black lesbian beach. This is just a gay beach.
Brianna Turner is a Black woman and a regular at Hollywood Beach. She currently lives nearby, but she's from the South Side. Brianna says she rarely visited before she moved up north.
I think one could argue it's not coincidental where it is, that it's on the North Side, and, you know, white gay men probably like stake their claim in the ground for it.
Adam says Hollywood Beach still has that North Side vibe to it, but he imagines it's more inclusive than it used to be, especially when it comes to the full spectrum of the LGBTQ plus community and marginalized communities in general. He points to the rainbow painted pier light at the end of the beach's metal pier.
I mean, it has like the word Gaza on it. It's been spray painted and covered and spray painted again and again and again. You'll see like Black Lives Matter graffiti on it as well, which I love. It's, I think, a really, really cool space to be in because, you know, as like a Latino person myself, I wouldn't be here if it didn't feel like that, so.
Today's Hollywood Beach, with all its imperfections, serves the vast diversity of the LGBTQ plus community. And paradoxically, it's doing so in the same way it served Jerry.
It has evolved into like really a lifeline for a lot of people. And that, you know, like you shouldn't have to worry about like kissing your partner on the beach and worrying if like somebody next to you is gonna sneer or say something. And I think that's really what the queer beach represents. It represents kind of like that bubble, that like safety net, that like at least this little section, this is ours, and we kind of get to make those rules.
Jerry does not go to Hollywood Beach anymore, so I had to ask him to meet me there just one time. Hearing how important it is for people in his community has to mean something, right?
I'm like awed by it and impressed and proud of it and sort of sad, because I would just, it's not that personal feeling I would have. When I look at it, I said I would feel so lost there. When things get so big, you lose that sense of community.
Jerry brought a plaque with him that his friend Ty gave him back in the day in appreciation for his devotion to building queer community.
The guys gave this to me in 1994. It says, "To Jerry Marcocha, in great appreciation for your noble and valiant efforts for volunteering your home, kindness, and Sundays to beach volleyball from the guys, summers of 1991 through 94. So, yeah, I get choked up about it. It's one of my prized possessions.
Jerry looks ahead 50 years into the future and wonders if this will still be known as the gay beach. The answer to that is up to the community that keeps it going. I reported this week's story. Justin Bull is our producer. Susie Ahn is our editor. And I host the show. special thanks to the Gerber Hart Library and Archives for sharing posts from that online bulletin board, Cockpit, and to Anthony James Williams and Ale Bounds, who read those messages for the show. Curious City is a production of WBEZ Chicago and is a part of the NPR network. If you have questions about Chicago and the region, send them our way at curiouscity@wbez.org or visit us at wbez.org/curiouscity. I'm Erin Allen. Thank you for listening. I'll talk to you next week.